Conference record has joined the conference.
All right, recording is started. Just to remind everyone to put your phones on mute, and I will hand it over to Mike to get started.
Great, thanks, Vicki. So good morning and good afternoon for the people, I guess, from around the world dialed in here. Thanks for taking time out. As you guys all, I suspect, heard and saw yesterday, we launched WebLogic Server 12c. We were trying to make this happen a little bit before that, and as Vicki was saying, it was a little difficult to coordinate. So obviously some of the details that I'll be talking about today were chatted about yesterday in the broadcast that we did. So what I did last night is I did a little bit more detail on a couple areas. So hopefully that'll give you a little bit more information than was available during the broadcast. I also pulled in a little bit of roadmap material so you guys get a bit of a forward-looking perspective on where their release is going after this. And then also, obviously, I'd be interested in some Q&A because often I think we had on the call yesterday, the announcement call that is now, I think it's actually hosted on oracle.com, we had 7,000 registrants. We had about, I think we had 14 people answering questions, and we got through, I think, 750 questions over that two-hour broadcast period, and there still was several hundred unanswered ones that we're trying to sort of gather together into an FAQ. So it seemed to get a lot of attention. I noticed a fair bit of press over the last 24 hours as well, so we're pretty excited that we got it out. If you guys roll back to, Open World, I was talking to you guys and giving you a bit of a flavor of where we thought the release would go. I think there was some disappointment and maybe misinterpretation of what I was saying in terms of when the release would come out, that we were aiming for the end of the year of this year, and it looks like we pretty much have made it. The announcement happened yesterday. We're expecting the bits to be available. It was December the 7th, now it might be December the 8th, based on some last-minute bugs that we're trying to chase down right now. So that's a bit of setting context. I'll take you through a couple of slides or a few slides that just sort of were talked about in the presentation and try and give some context about it. In August, we talked about this Cloud Application Foundation as a set of componentry that make up the underlying foundation of Fusion Middleware. And when we talked about it yesterday, it sort of breaks out to look like something like this. Looks like I've got some feedback here. Maybe Vicki, I wonder if we might be able to mute the lines. Do you know how to do a mute all and then I can unmute myself?
Oh, can you? If I mute all, won't that mute your call?
Actually, it looks like whoever it was that came on has muted themselves, so we haven't gotten the feedback again.
Okay, good.
So Cloud Application Foundation, this is this set of products that make up the foundation. So WebLogic Server 12c is the cornerstone of it. As many of you know, it embeds coherence. We consider Tuxedo for our C, C++, COBOL application server as part of this foundation. And then it's virtualized through Virtual Assembly Builder. So the 12c release cycle includes a major new release of Oracle Virtual Assembly Builder, which takes collections of virtual machines, a multi-tier application, and turns it into a single assembly that you can move around as a single unit. I'll peel back the onion on what literally is new in that area in this presentation. And then for a number of you, I know you're quite interested in a new component that's coming out. It's actually going to come out a little later in December, more around December 20th is when the actual formal bits will be available, Oracle Traffic Director. This is the infrastructure that underlies the Oracle Public Cloud that we announced at Open World. It is also the virtualization platform that is on Exalogic Elastic Cloud, and then clearly the rest of Fusion Middleware runs on this infrastructure. You'll see us talk a lot about this over the next 6 to 12 months because it is really the foundation of our software stack and sort of the collection of infrastructure that we've integrated together. As you guys recall, when we acquired Tangasol, the first thing that we did in WebLogic is we tied them together as a complete integrated unit. The same thing is happening with Traffic Director, WebLogic, Coherence, and Assembly Builder. There's sort of a natural synergy between all of those components and important in the cloud. Just a reiteration of a bit of the message that we made at yesterday is talking a lot about portability across conventional systems. So all of the infrastructure works within a conventional data center environment. You don't need to be using our engineered systems. You don't need to be using our public cloud. All of the cloud capabilities are available there. Of course, it's further optimized on engineered systems. I'll talk a bit about what we really did there. I think what we showed yesterday was just it goes faster on Exalogic. I'll show a couple items that we specifically did there. And then, of course, it's underlying public cloud, which is in this early adopter phase right now. We're just going through a multi-cycle, as well, three-phase early adopter cycle for public launch, sort of GA launch earlier on in 2012. So here's the sort of synopsis of the key new capabilities. Obviously, EE6 is a big piece. Virtualization with Virtual Assembly Builder, traffic management with Traffic Director. I'm going to peel back the onion on high availability in VR, perhaps to the interest of Simon. I know there's a number of people that are interested in what we've done with the Rack piece and also with some of the DR pieces. I know Simon has an interest in that. Higher performance, I'll drill down on that, and then also upgrade. So let's, one more eye chart. As I saw on the Twitter sphere yesterday, people were pretty impressed with this slide. It is a bit of an eye chart. It basically says, hey, there's a lot of new features, and clearly we're only highlighting sort of key ones so that people can kind of get their heads around 12C being about the cloud and sort of a set of key capabilities. But there is actually features throughout it, and I'll peel back the onion on some of those pieces. So first on Java EE6, it's too bad Marcus isn't on the call. Marcus Asseli, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. He was actually one of the beta testers through the release testing specifically the Java EE6, and we basically nominated him as our best bug filer. He uncovered quite a number of issues, and that was fantastic because the product is ultimately a lot better as a result of some of the testing that he was doing with his applications. Clearly, the focus of the release is to have Java EE6 have really great support. Just to give an example of what Marcus sort of pushed through and what we like about the Oracle ACES program is he noticed that we were using an earlier version of Weld, which is the CDI spec, and really pushed back. And as part of that process, we actually upgraded to Weld 1.1.3. For those of you who are very Java EE-centric, you'll know that's the latest release of Weld, and that made a big difference in sort of his ability to actually use the product. So we obviously appreciate you guys when you're involved in programs like that. And then there was a lot of work done also on the developer side around Apache Maven and plugins for it. So as most of you who have used WebLogic on the call know, we started introducing Maven in the product in 11G, but we've carried that forward and gone even further in 12C. For those of you Maven savvy, you can sort of see a number of the new Maven plugins that we've provided for doing different operations. So it just makes it a little bit easier to use Maven, obviously has its key role as a dependency management framework, but also be able to plug it into your build environment and have WebLogic Server be a natural product in that environment. One of the things that we are actively working on, and I think I may have mentioned it in the summertime, but it's now much more seriously moving ahead. I don't have a timeline for it, but is having a public Maven repository available on OTM. So each of in not only WebLogic proper, but the goal is to actually carry that across all of Fusion middleware. So we think this is also going to be a big step forward. So if you're, as many of the ACEs are, you're a Fusion middleware developer, getting your head wrapped around Maven as a dependency management framework in your build environment, if you want to be even more productive on Fusion middleware and with WebLogic, it definitely is an area worthwhile investigating. I'm really not doing it justice by giving it a slide here, but it is a bit more than what was broadcast yesterday. So hopefully this will be a bit of an instigation for you, not only the what's in the product, but also what we're trying to do as we go forward with the rest of Fusion middleware 12c. One thing that you'll see in terms of the download size, so we have a standard distribution, so it'll be available on all the platforms. However, the zip distribution will be on with a substantially smaller size, so we've gotten it down to about 168 megabytes. I think we have obviously more to do there, but it's a fairly dramatic improvement, even over 11G, where it was about 318 megs. We're down to about 168, 165. Not quite sure what the final will be, but the one that we were mucking around with last Friday was 168 megabytes. So it's a pretty nice environment for just a pure desktop development. As we note here, there is still the start the container up with fewer container runtimes, so the WebLogic X option, WLX option, which turns off the EJB, JMS, and JCA container. So this is a nice step forward in terms of the development, and I think it's really just part of the journey as we go through the 12C lifecycle. We hope to be able to do more in this area. One thing I, depending on where you, if you watched the broadcast yesterday, something that is interesting, and I know a number of you work in both GlassFish as well as WebLogic Server, and perhaps we're using GlassFish as a Java E6 environment, with WebLogic Server being Java E6. One of the things that we did in 12C is actually let you take a GlassFish web application and redeploy it on WebLogic Server without actually any changes. And so we actually recognize the GlassFish web.xml and Sun web.xml, which are the XML descriptors in a GlassFish deployment environment or deployment application deployment, and they're automatically recognized by WebLogic Server. So this is actually a nice way to, in a sense, upsize to WebLogic Server if you want to go that route. It's a very clean upgrade path for people that are perhaps using GlassFish for development and then deploying on WebLogic Server. Now that WebLogic Server is EE6, this may be less important, but it certainly is a nice capability to have if you're running in a mixed environment. I think this was the only slide that we showed on Oracle Virtual Assembly Builder, so I thought I'd show a few more. As many of you, I think, are aware, I think we've talked about it a fair amount of times. The concept behind Virtual Assembly Builder is take a physical multi-tier application, in this case a WebLogic application, say a web-serving tier, obviously a Oracle Traffic Director tier, which we'll peel back the ending on as well, a WebLogic web app tier, perhaps a WebLogic messaging tier, and then perhaps even a database tier that is physically distributed amongst many machines. And what Virtual Assembly Builder does is let you collect up each of those distinct tiers of the application as a virtual machine, gather them up into a single assembly, as we call it, a unit of deployment, and then you it as a unit of lifecycle deployment, start, stop, ultimately patching and upgrading. That's a big area of investment going on now in Virtual Assembly Builder, and use that as your cloud foundation, because in the end, a lot of what cloud is about, for those of you who saw the Oracle Public Cloud demos and have been privy to presentations on it, you know that one of the key aspects of it is I go to the public health website, I request a one-node, two-node, or four-node application server, WebLogic server, and magically within a minute or two, it comes back. What's really happening behind the scenes is we have a prepackaged virtual assembly of one, two, and four-node WebLogic cluster that is spun up and a set of metadata from your web page interaction is injected into that assembly to tailor it to your specific shape and feel that you set. Here's your domain name. Here's the database connection that you want. Here's the routing from the Oracle HTTP server and the routing from the traffic director into the environment. That's what's being injected into these assemblies. So this is a fairly important piece, we believe. Certainly we are using it heavily in our cloud environment. It's a fundamental part of what the Exalogic Elastic Cloud virtual environment will look and feel like. Let's peel back the onion a little bit on that and just tell you what's new there. So in the 11G release, what we had was the ability on the left-hand side to collect up the virtual machines and construct the assemblies and have a deployment plan around them. What's new in 12C is a server-side infrastructure, the right-hand side of the diagram. This was partially there in 11G, but it was pretty limited. Whereas in 12C, there's more of a formal server-side infrastructure that has a set of APIs. We call it the Oracle Virtual Assembly Builder Deployer, and it has, you know, the ability to inject these the metadata, the deployment plans into it. Has the ability to do the start, stop, the deployment, sort of the classic lifecycle management. And it is really the abstraction layer on top of Oracle VM. And then ultimately, when you run it on Exalogic, OVAB is not restricted only to Exalogic. It runs in conventional environments as well. But when you run on Exalogic, there's an additional set of integration we've done with the OVAB deployer into the infrastructure as a service layer of Exalogic. Because of course, Exalogic, we have a formalization of what the storage looks like, what the network looks like, and obviously what the virtualization layer looks like with Oracle VM. So this is the net new that comes out of 12C. For those of you who were following yesterday and wondering, well, I wonder what is new here. This is the big new piece. As part of the release of Assembly Builder, what will come out first is WebLogic Appliance, Coherence Appliance, Traffic Director Appliance, and Oracle HTTP Server Appliance. And then the plan is a slight lag. It'll probably go into the March-April timeframe of SOA Suite, Service Bus, Tuxedo, and so forth. So you'll see a richer set of appliances coming out around this. From a forward-facing direction, all of the 12C products as they roll out over calendar year 2012 and 2013 will be required as part of our release management process to produce a virtual assembly appliance. So you get a sense of the importance that we're attaching into this product area of sort of where we're going with it. So hopefully that's a peel back the onion a little bit further than you were able to see yesterday. Enterprise Manager 12C is obviously a big part of the release. I've just really injected the same slide that was shown yesterday. A little bit of color here is that obviously EM12C was released in September. The team is now working with the WebLogic Server 12C release, and the plan is to do sort of a formal certification early on in 2012. A big part of the 12C release of Enterprise Manager was around cloud, and if you sort of listen to and read the material around it, there was a dramatic set of capabilities added around WebLogic server across the board, from provisioning, cloning, config management, diagnostics. So it's not only is the cloud there once you've cloud layered your application with EM from a management admin perspective, you have a lot more drill down and depth of integration with WebLogic Server. What will happen with it, one of the areas that the team is working on is sort of updating this to ensure that it works with the OVAB web service API. So the contract that we've developed is basically we have the WebLogic appliances, we have the Coherence appliances, we have all the appliances in OVAB. They are surfaced up through the APIs in OVAB, and then what is happening is Enterprise Manager is consuming those APIs and providing the management console around it. So sort of, as you can imagine, a layered engineering product as the product rolls out, and 12c and OVAB are kind of the first pieces of that story. I know a number of people are very interested in Traffic Manager, so Oracle Traffic Director. This is a layer 7 software load balancer with routing, load balancing, traffic shaping, a pretty rich set of capabilities here. From a performance perspective, one of the interesting things that we've done is we've integrated it into the Intel chipset, or we've tied it together with the Intel chipset on the Exalogic box, where it's we actually talked to the AES API, Advanced Encryption Set API, on the Intel chipset, and the end result is that we get crypto acceleration, and that's really responsible for this performance throughput that we're getting around 3.5 times more throughput. And then because we're using sort of the hardware APIs directly, we're able to get a significantly lower CPU utilization on it. One thing I know a lot of people were asking on the call yesterday was, where is it actually available? It is delivered on Exalogic. Initially, it is restricted on Exalogic. So that is something to bear in mind with this product. In our traditional WebLogic server environment, we continue to have the classic web tier of the Oracle HTTP server and the iPlanet web server. This is, I can't remember if we had Mark Pritchard talk about this at the Oracle ACES in the fall, but this is actually derived from an augmented infrastructure from the iPlanet code base. For those
I don't recall that name of the presenter.
Okay. So it is, Mark Pritchard on my team is the product manager for this, and the heritage of it is that we have the iPlanet team who's built obviously a world-class web server. I think we have actually in the world, we have the top sort of web tier or edge architects at Oracle. We're really fortunate in that way, and they've taken that code base plus a bunch of additional work that was going on at Sun to build out the Traffic Director. So it's a super cool product. Those of you who actually might have seen it at Open World, we have a couple sessions there where we were sort of previewing it. You know that it's actually an extremely rich offering out of the box, a very sophisticated UI to support all of the declarative capabilities around load balancing, traffic shaping. In fact, I think this slide gives a bit more of a picture around it. So it's not only got sort of the shaping and request rate limiting throttling capabilities. It is actually pretty tightly integrated with WebLogic Server proper. For those of you, I assume there's a few on here who know how the web server integrates in via something called Mod WebLogic into the WebLogic cluster. We've done the same integration with Traffic Director, so Oracle Traffic Director can act as a direct reverse proxy to WebLogic Server. We do that through a technique called HTTP piggybacking, where we carry cluster information back and forth on the HTTP headers so that the traffic director can do smart routing and understand what's going on in the WebLogic cluster. It also does include Oracle Access Manager SSO integration. So for those of you plugging into the Oracle Identity Management environment, Traffic Director also supports direct integration with that, as you might imagine. So you can use it as a effectively a direct front door into the WebLogic environment. And then there is this whole VRRP HA failover groups. So this is a set of APIs that we conform to that is pretty well known in the load balancing area to support high availability virtual IPs. So that is fundamentally supported as well. So it's a pretty rich environment, particularly for a version 1 product. We're pretty excited by it. It does play extremely well in our Exalogic environment, clearly, because of a lot of our early Exalogic customers were asking for this because they wanted a onboard software load balancing infrastructure to keep them inside of the InfiniBand infrastructure of Exalogic. So that was obviously directly in response to it, and now obviously adding significant value into the Exalogic environment. Last area I'll touch on, and then I'll hopefully have 10 or 15 minutes for Q&A. I think the second to last area is just around HA and DR. This was sort of the, I call it the Mike Lehman special slide, trying to say six features or seven features on one slide. I'm going to peel it back a little bit. This was one of the ones I was showing in AJ and Hassan's presentation, and it really just highlights that there are significant features enhanced in the rack integration area. We call it Active Grid Link for rack. When you install WebLogic Server, for those of you who muck around in the product itself, there's a new data source type called a Grid Link data source where all of the configuration around this is available. We introduced this capability first in 11G, but in 12C we actually added a number of new capabilities. Most notably, well, let me first describe it a little bit. What we actually do is we subscribe to events emitted from the Oracle database, from the Oracle notification service in WebLogic Server, and that gives us the smarts to do sophisticated runtime connection load balancing when we're sending database traffic to the Oracle database. So we can send load to the least loaded rack nodes, or when a rack node is taken offline, that we can flush the connection pool of those rack node connections and connect up to surviving nodes in the rack cluster. So it's a very rich, highly available environment. It actually fairly dramatically improves performance because of the smart load balancing. And then what is new is in the affinity area, we have transaction affinity in 11G, which within the scope of a transaction, all of your JDBC activity gets pinned to a rack node, so you get a highly efficient set of data transactions going on. New in 12C is session affinity, where within the scope of a web session, we actually pin the traffic to a rack node. So you have a very much like HTTP session cart, where you don't want to have your shopping cart being replicated across your cluster. You always want to come back to the WebLogic node that has your shopping cart. This is kind of the database equivalent for transaction activity. And the second thing that was added in is transaction log support in the Oracle database. And so what this is that you can now optionally configure your WebLogic transaction logs to store their data into an Oracle database. The end result is that you're able to simplify your DR solution to take advantage of something like Active Data Guard, which is very popular in the database community, or Golden Gate as your sort of DR solution. Your middleware DR solution becomes simply recovering the binaries or having a backup of the binaries in your secondary data center, as well as making sure that you have the configuration. All of your live transactional messaging and data and sort of customer data is now able to be stored in a database, and you can use very traditional proven recovery mechanisms like Active Data Guard or GoldenGate has the solution there. I mean, here's a little bit of a drill down on I don't think this was shown in any of the presentations over the last 2 days, so these two slides are a little bit more of a drill down. So highlights the web session affinity that I talked about. So there's an affinity hint that is sort of propagated, giving us the smarts to route the connections within the same web scope, web session scope to a particular rack node. And that's sort of happening under the covers in WebLogic Server's connection pool and runtime. The other thing that's new is for those of you who have automated your WebLogic environment through domain templates, the config wizard in WebLogic Server now is Gridlink aware. So it no longer, when you want to do a highly available data source, forces you to only use multi-data sources, you now have the ability to use the Gridlink data source. So if, for those of you who are building out sort of scripted, rolled out WebLogic domains, this actually makes your life a lot easier. It's not a just a WST option or something you do through the management console. Our standard templating solution helps you here. And then the intent is as Fusion Middleware now goes forward, the intent is for the rest of Fusion Middleware to use this as their high availability solution for RAC. A little bit of a drill down on transaction logs. Basically, I think actually the slide says what I said, that the transaction logs can be stored in the database. What's new, and a number of our customers noted this that were in the beta program, was how fast they found it to be. So we were concerned about when we, the way it hangs together is it uses the files, the JDBC persistent store as a way to configure where your transaction logs go. And so we actually went and did a fairly significant amount of work in optimizing how the database store actually is optimized. And we got some fairly good improvements in the performance there. So it really is a side benefit of the transaction logs and the databases that are JDBC store is now significantly more performant in 12c. So this is a really nice capability. So if you think you're going to pay a performance overhead of putting the transaction logs in the database, you actually might be pleasantly surprised to see how good the performance is. I don't want to say it's better than the file store, but it's pretty darn close, if not slightly better in a number of cases from our internal benchmarks. And then finally, a bit of a an eye candy chart, but it gives you a flavor of what this means is when you look in a multi-data center site with the transaction logs in the database, this is what it looks a little bit more like is your middleware space, load balancers, web tier, web logic tier, all you're worried about there is binaries and configurations. That's a much simpler problem to deal with across data centers. You don't need as huge or as sophisticated a solution for storage replication. You can actually do a number of poor man approaches around this. Whereas in the database side, because you now have all your live data in the database, and people are fairly strong users of solutions in this space like Active Data Guard, and more so we're seeing a lot of usage of GoldenGate, you sort of have a, for that backend environment, a much more rich and consistent solution in that space. I'm not going to touch too much on coherence. In 12c, frankly, there isn't a significant amount of work that was done here. It was really in 11G, we really, I think, pulled out most of the stops to get in most of the integration that we wanted there. There is incremental work coming here in the 12C release cycle. So stay tuned. There actually will be more work done here, but in 12C proper, there isn't a significant amount of change here. We really, by the time we hit 10.3.5 of 11G, we had sort of the management and operations in the WebLogic console. We had the programming model with annotations, logging integration, node manager integration of Coherence. Obviously, the Coherence web declarative integration with Coherence. Probably the biggest change in 12C is the utilization of Coherence 3.7.1, which was released in September, and that includes RESTful capabilities, as well as a query explain plan capabilities, and inside of Eclipse, for those of you who are Coherence users, you might have seen that there's quite a rich amount of editing capabilities. The Coherence config files, the XML files, are now XML schema bound, and as a result, OP, and then ultimately the rest of the tools are able to provide a sort of rich visualization of the Coherence config files. Where we're investing in is an area we're calling Coherence containers. So you'll see us talk more about this over the coming year as we roll through the 12C release, and the intent there is to make Coherence a native container inside of WebLogic Server. So right now it still runs as a Java VM, and we have all the manageability capabilities around it. Where there's sort of one last area of investment we still need to do is around the configuration of Coherence and deployment model around Coherence. So you're going to, we anticipate through the 12C lifecycle that you will see the ability to treat Coherence like a managed container. So if you think of WebLogic having managed servers, you'll see us work in an area we call managed containers of managed Coherence containers as sort of the last, I can't imagine it'll be the last, but sort of the next major step forward of Coherence integration. Oh, I'm sorry, I have two more slides, and then I'm open for questions for the last 15 minutes. I did want to highlight on Exalogic that we did do additional work as well around performance. So one thing that you'll notice as you poke through the updated Exalogic documentation that'll be coming out over the next few weeks, is that there's some new messaging capabilities. We call it the concurrent request manager capability inside of WebLogic Server. What this does is basically, instead of having it, it takes a better advantage of the thread pool that's available to handle JMS messages. And the graphic tries to illustrate this. It's a little bit complex, but I have an application. It's requesting threads through the WebLogic Work Manager, and there was a bottleneck at what was called the Request Manager, and as a result, we weren't able to saturate and get full utilization out of the thread pool for the amount of messages that we were pumping through in an Exalogic environment. By doing what we call a concurrent or a lockless request manager down in the JMS layer, we're able to saturate and fully utilize the thread pool on an Exalogic box, and the end result is that we actually see fairly dramatic improvements in the JMS throughput. And this is really reflective of clearly an investment that we're making in the Exalogic area to really, because we're in that constrained environment, we know exactly what it looks, feels, and smells like from a hardware perspective. We're able to really do some incredibly fine-grained tuning in that environment and get the sort of eye-popping chart numbers that we've been showing around Exalogic. And I think actually I have a couple of these. So SpecJ Enterprise. We're going to be publishing more around SpecJ Enterprise, so obviously that's not unexpected. And then this is the, I think this is the chart that was shown at Open World. WebLogic 12c is what actually enables that chart to be a reality because of capabilities like the JMS lockless request manager that I talked about a bit earlier on, and then also through things like Oracle Traffic Director with its crypto acceleration and Socket Direct Protocol integration on Exalogic. Last slide to get you out of here and open it up for questions. Hope that wasn't too much information or too fast. It's just highlighting the upgrade. So the upgrade to WebLogic 12c, pretty straightforward. So we handle standard domain upgrades. There's not a dramatic amount of change going to 12c. Obviously, Java EE5 applications continue to be supported, but you can now start taking advantage of EE6. For those of you who are using the IIS environment, Internet Application Server, the smart upgrade tooling that we have continues to be supported in the 12c era, so we can take a 10GR2 or a 10GR3 IIS Java EE application, convert it. We're not going to upgrade it to EE6, but we will convert it to be WebLogic aware as best we can. There's still a certain amount of manual work there, but a substantive amount of automation that we work with the smart upgrade for WebLogic tool. And then, as we mentioned a bit earlier on, we have the GlassFish redeployment capabilities, which is a pretty nice feature for those people that might have been using EE6 on GlassFish and want to get into, because their customers, their they have requirements around integrating in with Fusion Middleware, they can easily redeploy those web apps onto WebLogic Server. Again, it's not 100% perfect, but it's a pretty huge step because of the deployment descriptor recognition. There is one more slide. I'm sorry. I'll close out on this one. This will probably be the one that might be good for Q&A to end on. I think I showed this slide actually at the fall ACES event, just to give you a flavor of what it was. And I think people are like, oh, it seems like that WebLogic Server 12c is a long ways off. Well, it was only about 3 months off from Open World. Not even that. It's going to be only 2 months off. But really what's happened here is, of course, we have the WebLogic Server 12c out there. It does have the new features that we've talked about. There's actually more. I didn't really talk about TopLink, often referred to as multi-tenancy. Phrasing here is data partitioning. JDK 7 support is also as part of the 12c release. I think the big message on this slide is that this is the first step in the rest of Fusion Middleware 12c coming out. So what will happen through 2012, and it'll be really the latter half of calendar year 2012, is incremental components of Fusion Middleware will come out on WebLogic Server 12c. So that is really the message that you should be taking away from this slide is, you know, we've made a big step forward with WebLogic 12c, lots of new capabilities there, but it is a release upon which Fusion Middleware is not certified. It is what I call a naked WebLogic server, which is great for custom Java development, deals with a huge amount of our install base, but clearly another huge part of our install base is using Fusion Middleware on WebLogic server. Obviously, they will be continuing to use it on 11G, and then as 2012 progresses, you'll see incremental releases, probably starting with SOA and Web Center and ADF are kind of the trio that are the natural first release cycle on 12c, and then you'll see the rest of Fusion Middleware roll out on the platform. So Vicky, I think what we'll do is open it up for Q&A there, and hopefully the next 10 minutes I can answer a few questions, and hopefully I didn't go too fast there.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
if you're muted, mute Vicky. No, you're not anymore.
I know. Yes, please, everyone, if you have questions, step right up.
Mike, could you just recap what's happening with the Converge JVM? Because I kind of missed that yesterday on the webcast. So is JRocket gone yet?
No, so the way WebLogic 12c will ship is initially 12.1.1, which is the 12c release, actually for your... For someone like you who I really know is poking away under the covers, you'll be happy to know that the version is updated as well. So it really is a 12.1.1 release, and it's 12C release as a higher level brand. It will ship with JRocket, with Java SE6, as well as Hotspot with Java SE6, and then it will be certified so you can download independently Java SE7, and it'll be certified against Java SE7. Now, the one caution I have on you is that one of the areas that we have run into literally in the last week as we've been going through stress and PSR performance regressions on the product, sort of signing off on it. I wanted just to highlight that the formal SE7 cert will likely be at the end of December. So we're just searching through, or not searching through, we're just closing down. We have actually two issues that are being shut down on it, and it looks like those will be closed down at the end of December. So I haven't answered your question yet. I've only answered SE7. So Java SE7 is, in fact, the converged JVM. So JRocket will continue to be shipped through the 12C cycle, but what you'll see is the capabilities from JRocket will appear through the Java SE7 updates that come out. So, for example, one of the things a lot of people are waiting for is the mission control. I noticed that the team has taken away the JRocket off of JRocket mission control in the way that they refer to it. So mission control will start being capable of going against Java SE7, the hotspot distribution, as we go through the 12C cycle. That makes sense, Tom?
Yeah, so as of the release when it comes out next week or whenever, if you did a JVM 7 on there, you wouldn't have things like Mission Control and Flight Recorder yet, but it's coming.
Correct.
Okay. But ultimately, it means that the whole debate about JRocket or Hotspot is disappearing fairly quickly by the sounds of it. We'll just have the JVM. It'll just be JVM.
Well,
Java.
We're going to, yeah, actually, so that's a good point. So another thing to bear in mind is right now the plan of record on 12.1.1 is Java SE6, and then sort of outside of it, Java SE7 cert, sort of as I've described here. And then the intent is to make the default in 12.1.2, as it will be called. It'll be a, we call it a minor release in the 12 cycle. In 12.1.2, the default is expected to be Java SE7.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Mike, will there be changes to the packaging of the product? Or will it still be like standard edition, enterprise edition, containing pretty much the same stuff?
There is no changes to the packaging of the core pieces. So WebLogic Server SE, WebLogic Server Enterprise Edition, and WebLogic Suite have no changes that have been introduced here. It's all of the features live within the current sort of restricted restrictions that are in there. So, for example, Oracle Virtual Assembly Builder is available in WebLogic Server EE and above. Many of you know the Active GridLink or GridLink data sources licensed in the WebLogic Suite edition of the product. that has not changed.
Okay, thanks.
I got a question. I know Oracle has a pretty good internal policy of use a product that they work and eat their own dog food. Is this being used internally? The cloud virtualization, is that being used extensively internally inside of Oracle right now?
It is. It is really so that when the Java service in the public cloud is fundamentally based on Oracle Virtual Assembly Builder and WebLogic Server, and it is. As you say, we're eating our own dog food, and it's been actually a really great experience ultimately for the team. When Oracle eats its own dog food, we do it we bet big. so it ends up being really good for the product. And frankly, the same thing happened with WebLogic Server. When we brought WebLogic on from BEA and sort of unleashed the Fusion middleware and even the Fusion applications team on it. The core WebLogic team was astounded by all the different things that we found in the product that needed to be sort of, bugs and what have you. It's like, well, no one's ever used it like that. And it's because, we're putting massive enterprise software on the product. And it ends up being really good for the product because it becomes sounder and stronger and more resilient and more reliable, etc. So, yeah, we are eating our own dog food, big time.
Well, that's good to hear because I knew that Google with their cloud and Amazon with their cloud and even Salesforce.com used their private clouds for like years before they unleashed them onto the greater universe. And they're a little rough around the edges because they focused mainly on getting stuff stable, as opposed to putting every bell and whistle in there. And as long as there's a good feedback loop and your team is beholden to, the Fusion Apps team when they say, it just doesn't do this right, then I think that's really good.
Yeah, it is. That is actually the way it works. And it can be a painful exercise because you're going, well, I really don't want to do that because I want to put in this feature, but it actually quite often will override our ability to put a feature in sooner. And it was certainly challenging through the 11G release. I think, frankly, in the 12C era, we've actually emerged from a lot of that because, as you know, for example, Fusion Apps has literally been put out now or is effectively available. So we've sort of crossed that bridge. The public cloud is a hugely important effort. It's being driven, like, as I think you might have gotten a sense from Open World, it's driven right up through Larry. So it's got maximum visibility, maximum attention, and it's the top priority. So a similar thing is happening there. With the public cloud, it's so very well aligned with where WebLogic has to go anyway. It's a really natural, simpatico relationship. So it's been a little bit more positive experience because there's sort of direct benefits that we see to sort of more the classical WebLogic audience out of it as well.
Can I ask something about OTD?
Sure.
I think you said, or on one of the slides, it said something like OVM and OVAB support was kind of part of day one, I guess, for it. Is it going to be a fairly straightforward appliance to install? Because that's a key requirement, I would say.
So the way I have to phrase this right. So OTD will come out in December. It is Exalogic. It's for Exalogic is the way the terms have come out on it. Exalogic will have OVM support in December. The OVAB support on Exalogic will come a little bit later. The end result is that the OVAB appliance for OTD is actually scheduled to come a little bit later in calendar year 2012. So the most likely use cases of OTD initially on Exalogic will be physical ones.
I think that's just as a sort of feedback on how some of them, how it's being positioned slightly. It's kind of being shown as being better than Apache and whatever, or OHS, which is fine. But really, I think the big competitor for it is obviously your big IPs and your Cisco Ace or your Juniper as a replacement to that. And obviously, those are things are pretty easy to install. You just kind of plug them in. But clearly, having it running within Exalogic on InfiniBand's got a lot of performance benefits. But we, you know, people will still balk if it's really difficult to use.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, in a sense, what OVAP will bring to it. I think the thing I'm very cautious about is that we not... because it is one of the reasons it's coupled to Exalogic like that is that, you know, we are not going to, we're not F5, we're not Cisco in the space, so we're not going out there and, you know, selling generic global load balancers. It's, you know, those guys are, you know, extremely good at that, and that's, I think you'll still see within even an Exalogic environment utilization of those products. I think when you're on board of an Exalogic environment, there's a significant advantage by having a onboard local software load balancer. There's, as you said, there's sort of unique things that we can do that literally no one else can do because of that. So I'm a little bit cautious sort of agreeing with the way you're positioning it there. So just bear that in mind as well.
Can I just follow that up as well? From Open World, I vaguely remember something talk about an 8th size rack Exalogic.
Yeah.
But I did hear that, didn't I, somewhere?
Well, you did hear that, in fact.
I keep Googling for it, and it's can't find it.
So Larry definitely talked about it. Actually, I'm not sure he was supposed to, but he did. And it is actually, if you talk to your trusty Oracle sales rep, I think, in fact, they can now fulfill an order around it. I believe that's where it is. But it certainly is one of those things that is just coming to fruition right now. But I do know that it is available to order. I'm not sure about the actual delivery timelines and fulfillment of the order. So it's definitely there.
So we can expect it in the price list as well at some point soon.
Yeah, it's not already there.
No, I just had a quick look. Maybe I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Good.
So right about 9:03, Vicky. How many last questions?
Oh, and Mark.
You said the word appliance while discussing the virtual assembly builder. Does that mean there's going to be a WebLogic appliance, like there's a database appliance?
So that's a good question. But I use the term appliance mostly in terms of it's a simple way of describing assembly. In fact, in the name game wars that we were having around assembly builder, one of the terms that was used was appliance builder. But because an assembly really is a collection of virtual machines, it didn't seem quite right to call it an appliance. And then as you're inferring, appliance is a bit of an overloaded term now because the database appliance is a combination of a hardware offering and software pre-configured on it. Right now there's no plans to have a equivalent Fusion middleware appliance or WebLogic appliance as hardware software beyond obviously what's in Exalogic. What Assembly Builder is a virtual software appliance is probably the best way of thinking about it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it actually. I was thinking about OTD. I was more in the sense of virtual appliance, you know, just as a kind of prepackaged virtual machine, which is very much what OFAP's. Mike, can I just add, Marcus did send me an email back saying he was off on family business at the moment and couldn't join in, but it was a pleasure working with the team, so there you go.
Yeah, he actually just texted me just now, so I guess you were...
I've been sending him little updates, but he's on his phone, so he must be... he's got a young family, so I guess he's out and about.
Yeah, he was on Twitter as well.
Okay. Well, he definitely earned the... points are, I know Steve Button, as many, it sounds like a number you might know, a number of people on my team, Steve Button out of Australia was doing, I think, daily, sometimes hourly interactions with Marcus, and it was actually great, the amount of stuff that he uncovered, and sort of literally now is fixed in the product as part of the release, so better product as a result of it. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And, Mike, if you want to send me over your slides, that would be great. We could post them for folks that couldn't make it.
Absolutely.
All righty.
Hey, guys, thank you very much. And looking forward to you guys checking it out, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
See you.